Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are doing a Points League mock draft, joined by Adam King. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant, to Shaq!
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! Anything's possible!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Today we are doing a 12-team Points League mock draft, and I am joined by the one and only Adam King from Fantasy Basketball International. How are you, Adam?
Good, mate. Very wet here, much like you, I think, enjoying the day off work. With not much to do other than fantasy basketball.
That's it. Yeah, so perfect day to do a mock draft. So we are kicking it off today with the Points League mock draft, our first Points League mock on the podcast this preseason, and we're getting stuck straight into it. The draft is off and running. We have got Nikola Jokic and Giannis off the board, picks 1 and 2, as they probably should have. And Luka off the board at pick 3. So for me, those are pretty clear top 3 guys. I'll be picking at pick 9, and Adam, you're going to be on the turn at pick 12. So I know I don't personally do a lot of points leagues, but are you a big points league guy, Adam, or what's your experience with those kind of leagues there?
No, not really. Probably much like you. I like to do maybe one just to sort of, I guess, keep across the format a little bit and know who to draft, who not to draft. But I tend to do more category leagues than points leagues. And likewise, I tend to do more of your standard rather than dynasty. But I am moving into dynasty a little bit this season with are you in the big league that we're all in, the big 30 deep
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that got announced today on Twitter, and I'm very excited for that one. I think it's kicking off later on this week. I'm on the clock here, and I'm going to be going with a guy who's definitely a big points league player. He's a guy that I've given a lot of shtick in the past for his category league rankings, but in a points league, I'm very happy to be drafting Ja Morant at this point because, yeah, I think he's young. He's got a little bit of an injury history, but in a points league, I see him definitely as a first-round player. A couple of other guys that might be ranked ahead of him that are a little bit more older and injury-prone, like an Anthony Davis or someone like that, but I'm going to lean a little bit more on Ja Morant at pick 9. Who are you hoping to get at your pick on 12?
Well, it was Trae Young, but it's not Trae Young anymore.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, as you said, sort of with your points formats, you have to throw percentages out the window, which can be hard to do when you're so used to having them in the back of your mind.
Yep.
Yeah, look, I'm probably going to look at Okay, so LaMelo goes at 11. I'm probably going to go with it's a mock. I'm going to go with Zion.
Yeah, okay.
I think if he's healthy and he plays 70 games, he's gonna rack up points because we know he gets boards, he scores. Be nice if his defensive numbers come up a little bit. I'm probably gonna look at. We've probably got position requirements here. Yeah,
normal standard Yahoo with your point guard, shooting guard, one center league.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Lillard here as my second pick.
Yep.
To fill out one of my guard spots, and I think he might have a good season this year. After last year, I see that as more of an outlier than what to expect moving forward, so I'm pretty happy with Lillard there.
I definitely agree. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I pretty much expect to see the normal Damian Lillard that we are going to see in previous seasons this year. I'm not too worried about his injury. It seemed like a bit of a freak injury to me and something he's been carrying for a little while, so I'm not too worried about that there. Zion is obviously an interesting one, much better in a points league. You don't have to worry about the free throw percentage and the lack of threes. So definitely someone who benefits in that type of a build. It's back over to me now. And who do I have here? Okay, I've got a couple of guys who I'm looking at. I'm looking at Anthony Davis. I'm also looking at another big guy who benefits in a points league setting, and that's Sabonis. But I think I'm going to go again with the upside here in an Anthony Davis, because in a points league, he's tremendous value. I'm a little worried about pairing him with Morant with the injury proneness, but I'm going to go with the upside here and just try and get some safer guys later in the draft, because I think, I think both Ja Morant and Anthony Davis to me are top 10 points league players. But yeah, a little bit worried about pairing the two together. But, you know, maybe the Lakers are a bit better this year and maybe Russell Westbrook sits down a little bit more, which helps Anthony Davis. We'll see. What are your thoughts on the Lakers roster and both LeBron and AD and their availability? Are you nervous about those guys or what are your thoughts about them?
I haven't drafted either of them anywhere yet. I'm a bit concerned. I do think the Lakers will be better this year than they were last year, so I think that helps. The whole Westbrook thing is still a bit of an unknown. I think I took Dennis Schroeder with a sort of a really late pick in one of my drafts, or maybe it was the draft I did yesterday, which was an all flex league. So we did a mock draft yesterday with 14 flex positions. And I took Schroeder at the end of my draft. A little bit of an unknown there. As we said, we don't know what Westbrook's going to do this season. I guess you just have to pencil him in as playing. Coming off the bench, I think, I said this yesterday, I think Westbrook off the bench would actually be a big positive for the team, but I just don't know whether he'll do it.
That's my concern as well. I don't know if he's got that ability to make that switch mentally. And I fear that the worry is that if he's not coming off the bench, he won't really want to be part of this team.
I
worry about what that does with the chemistry. But again, I don't think he's good enough that if he's going to be kicking up a stink that you bend over backwards and try and force him into the starting lineup, then you just say, okay, all right, Russ, you don't want to come off the bench, then you're not playing at all. And that's that. And yeah, so I guess that's just the concern for me with Russ. But obviously, in a points league like this, he's a good player, but again, carries tremendous risk. Let's go through a few of these picks that happen in this one. So I'll highlight a few of the guys. Sabonis at 25, that's awesome value for me. I was considering him with my pick in a points league. Again, don't have to worry about the free throws or the lack of threes. He's a much better points league than category leagues, in my opinion. Some of the guys you might notice that have fallen, Steph Curry was in the second round. Someone like Tyrese Halliburton fell to the second round. Definitely better in category leagues when their threes and percentages are a bit more valuable. In a points league, those don't count, obviously. So that scoring system sort of knocks them down a little bit. So just keep that in mind if you're used to seeing the category mock drafts. Anthony Edwards going at the end of the second round. I think it's a bit better in a points league. And here go a few of the other fun guys, Mobley and Cade. What are your thoughts about all those sort of three young guys? Let's talk about in a points league. Are you expecting Anthony Edwards to have a big breakout season this year? I know a lot of people are pushing him right up the draft boards.
Yeah, look, I think he'll be better. He went in a sort of mentioned earlier to you off air that we did for my first sort of cash big main league last night. We did a draft and Edwards actually went mid second round.
Wow.
I was hoping to get him. I think I was pick three. It was a 14 team league. So I was hoping to get him with my second pick, which would have been 25. But he actually went at about pick 18 or 17. So that's too high for me.
Yeah.
I'm okay sort of taking him around that sort of 30 range, but I just think no fault of his own, he's being hyped up and I think he's going in the second round. So come sort of early mid-October when draft season is sort of in full swing, he may be a bit rich for me, but I do think he can probably sort of nudge the second round potentially. And I guess Cade Cunningham sort of falls into that basket as well.
Yeah.
You're on the clock here. So
I am on the clock. DeMar DeRozan just went, who was definitely someone I was looking at. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler, but again, with the two players that I've drafted already, a little bit hesitant to draft another quote-unquote injury-prone guy. So I'm going to be going with another points league special and a guy I actually really like. I've been guilty of maybe overhyping this guy a bit too much last season, although he showed me at the end of last season why I like him, and that's De'Aaron Fox. I just think he's got to come in. There's no excuse. He's got to start the season hot this year. I don't know. I'm not filled with confidence, but again, I'm sort of, to borrow a Josh Lloyd phrase, I'm ready to get hurt again with De'Aaron Fox, and I still believe that he can put together a full season rather than just the last 2 months of a great season.
Yeah, look, he was next. He was the guy I had my eye on. I had a feeling that you might take him there. In this format, he's really good, and he was great.
Yeah.
To close last season, once he got his way and they shipped out Halliburton.
They didn't draft a point guard, so that's good for Fox.
Yeah.
Always helps. Who are you looking for to come up to your couple of picks here?
Oh, look, I mean, if in a perfect world, I would be taking Shai. But word came out when I think woke up this morning that he was going to be out for a bit. Oh, there he goes. Okay, so that makes my decision a bit easier. Yeah, look, this is in a category league. This is sort of the range where you're looking at these guys like Chris Paul, Rob Williams, who are more specialist guys, but they're built more towards category leagues. So, I don't know. There's a guy, he is a really good points. Oh, it's a mock. I'm just going to take him. I'm going to go Ben Simmons.
Oh, okay. I do like me some Ben Simmons.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I maybe it's a bit of the Aussie in me, but I'm hoping that he is able to get back and get back to where he was sort of 2-3 years ago. So where have they put him? They've put him as a guard. Okay. So, yeah. So I'm on the clock again. I don't know. There's another guy here I like, but again, it's a mock. Let's just...
How many times are we going to hear that today?
You're going to hear it every pick, I think, because it justifies it in my head. I'm going to go Porzingis.
Okay. Yes. I don't mind that one.
Again, if he's on the court, he can be a second-round guy in points formats. But, yeah, let's just see how many games he actually plays.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think he's obviously a very high upside, probably even higher upside in a category league, maybe a little bit less in a points league. But, yeah. Zion Williamson, Ben Simmons, Kristaps Porzingis, Damian Lillard. I feel like the injury concerns are piling up on your team, but obviously the upside is there. Maybe something to be conscious of on the way back. Jaylen Brown was one of the guys I was looking at, so that sucks. I am recording this one. I'm recording my screen here, and again, my mind is very much category leagues. So when I'm thinking about points leagues, there's a few things that I like to do is there's a few websites out there that I use that help me convert like a player's stats to points. So when I'm thinking of guys, I'm flicking backwards and forwards to this website, hashtag basketball. So if you guys are watching along, you'll see me referencing that a little bit more just so I can refresh my brain of what players are going at different points here. So there is a guy that I'm targeting, but I wonder if I can get him a little bit later. I'm going to try and risk it. And I'm going to go with, I need a wing. And this guy is a very exciting young player. I'm going to go with a Scotty Barnes at this point in the draft. I think we could see a little bit of a breakout. I always get a lot of passionate Raptors fans in my comments on the videos. So, and for some reason, whenever I leave him out of a breakout video or something like that, or, you know, the best players in the NBA videos, then I get a little bit of heat from it. But I do really like Scotty Barnes. I've got a lot of dynasty stock in him. And I think I can see his points and assists coming up this year. I think we could see those defensive stats come up. And again, when you don't have to worry about his lack of threes in a points league, I think he could be someone that has a decent amount of upside and a pretty safe floor. What are yours? Like, we skipped over it because it was just before your pick, but the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander news with his, is it MCL sprain that he's got? Yeah,
yep.
MCL sprain. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. How does that affect your view on Shai and where you're drafting him in leagues?
He's probably much like Anthony Davis. He's one of those guys I'm not really targeting. That's not to say I think he's going to be shut down. I'd just rather leave it to someone else to worry about come the end of the season. Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a legit thing, whereas sometimes towards the back end of the season, you look at these injuries and think, how serious are they? Are they just playing it really safe?
Yeah.
Given we haven't even started yet, this is obviously a legit thing. I still think, I mean, an MCL sprain is, I mean, it's a serious injury, but it's not a long-term thing like an ACL. It doesn't really... probably doesn't impact my view on him too much.
Okay. Where did you have him before the injury? Like, did you have him in the third or late second, or what were you sort of, how you value him before the injury?
Yeah, probably on the turn sort of there. So mid-20s, something like that, which I think he's about where he was going. I don't know what his ADP is, but for me, it's probably, I don't know. I'd like to get someone a little safer in the second round than him.
I would agree now too.
And on the flip side, I think the Lonzo news scares me.
Oh, absolutely.
That came out this morning. So I think he's
That was the guy that I wanted to come back to me. Fuck.
Oh, there you go.
Julius Randle. Yeah, I thought he might slip a few people's names because he's ranked so much worse in a category league. Damn. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Continue.
No, just touching on Lonzo. I think I was okay with taking him probably 100, anywhere from 100 down. And I mean, if you've got IR spots, obviously you could still grab him and throw him in your IR spot. But yeah, look, this worries me. This is the third surgery or something that he's had, and it just doesn't seem to be improving. And it does scare me a little bit. I'm unless I've got multiple IR spots, I don't think I'm drafting him.
Yeah, me too. I think this was the same kind of thing they said 8 months ago when he was supposed to be out for, you know, what was it, 6 to 8 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks at the time. And obviously it's been a long time since. So, and they're going to take it extremely cautious on him even when he does come back. So I don't think the upside is there as much as we would have thought it would have been if he was completely healthy. So,
yeah.
Couple of interesting picks to come off the board since then. I think Fred VanVleet was an interesting one at 44. I think that was good value. I considered him at my pick, but again, I'm just a little bit worried about his injuries and the minutes loads. And with Anthony Davis and Jamal Morant, I wanted someone a bit safer in terms of, I feel like, their availability. The Randle one, obviously, I was hoping that he'd come back to me, but people have switched on in this draft here. And then Paolo Banchero went at, what pick was that? That was at pick number 52. Probably better in a points league. And then Josh Giddey goes as well. Again, another good points league guy. So what are your thoughts? Did you think the Shai news elevates Giddey in your eyes at any point, at all?
Look, I don't know if it elevates him, but it probably solidifies him a bit. Like, right. I think it just reaffirms taking him. I still think he's going a bit early for me in category yep. leagues. In a points format, he's good. But, yeah, category leagues, I think the jump that people are expecting is pretty significant and one that we don't see very often. So, yeah, he's another guy that I haven't taken just because he's
ADP at the moment. Jalen Green.
Yeah, that's who I had my eye on as well.
I literally just put him in my queue. Yeah. Ah, that sucks.
That's what happens when you draft with people who know what they're doing.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to have to go with the guy who I think is a pretty similar kind of prospect to Jalen Green this season. I kind of view them pretty similar, although I think the upside in this guy is not as high as Jalen's, and I'll go with Keldon Johnson from the Spurs. And I think, obviously, you don't have to worry as much about his percentages and the lack of steals is not and defensive stats is not as impactful in a points league. And he'll have plenty of usage this season, so don't have to really worry too much about that. All right, so coming up to you in a couple of picks, who are you looking at this turn? You're going to go for some more injury-prone guys?
No, I'm going to try not to.
Robert Williams is there.
He is there. I'll probably pass on him and let someone else take him. Yeah, look, I've got my eye on a couple of guys here, and I am trying to get some players that are a little more robust than right. the ones I've picked so far. So, yeah, look, I'm looking at Colin Sexton as potentially yes. here.
Yep.
I don't mind Sexton at around this pick, even in a category league, actually. I don't mind Sexton
getting up to it.
Around here. He is coming off an injury, but it was sort of a one-off thing. It's not something that's lingered.
And I don't really view him as like a risky type, personally.
Yeah, no. And I think he's just going to... Yeah, I'm going to draft Sexton there.
We are flying through this draft, by the way.
We are. It's good. and then, so the next guy I'm looking at is a points league specialist. So a guy that I think, warranted or not, he's going to shoot the ball a lot. He's going to grab some rebounds. Won't get a lot of defensive numbers, but RJ Barrett in a points league.
Yeah, I love it.
He's good. He's generally... yeah, I think he's a little bit more trustworthy in terms of injuries. He hasn't really had a significant injury at all. So, yeah, look, I'm okay with Sexton and Barrett there.
Christian Wood goes off the board next, and he was definitely someone who I was looking at. All right, who am I looking for next? Coming up to me in a couple of picks. I probably need to... Oh, Kevin Porter Jr., I like that. Don't mind that pick at all.
Yeah, that's probably... I had Kevin Porter Jr. sort of probably as... It was him and Sexton were probably the guys I was looking at there. I still don't have a center, so I better rectify that.
Yeah, I'm looking at a big man here myself. I'm just deciding between two guys, between John Collins and Jakob Poeltl. Jakob, I feel like, is a nice, safe guy when he's on the Spurs.
Yep.
If he's going to be on the Spurs to finish the season, that's the question. But I still think that if he is traded, he should be a starter regardless of where he goes. So I'm going to go with Jakob there. I just think he's a really good player. I think he's someone that is underrated in a lot of NBA and fantasy circles. And I think with obviously DeJounte gone, you know, maybe there's extra rebounds there for him. Obviously, DeJounte was grabbing a lot of rebounds. I don't think that Vassell and Keldon are, you know, replacing all of those rebounds for him. So some of them will go to Jakob. And I think, obviously, he's just a really solid guy who, obviously, don't have to worry about his free throw percentage in this kind of a format.
No, Poeltl's good. He went really late in our draft last night, actually, surprisingly late. And
someone who's constantly underrated, I find. Yeah. He's just a boring name. Obviously, the threat of him getting traded is in everyone's mind as well. But would you see a scenario where he's traded and he comes off the bench on a different kind of team? I don't really see that scenario.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, the fact he can't stretch the floor does limit his upside a bit. So yeah. he's pretty one-dimensional offensively. But his defensive capabilities are more than enough to keep him on the floor, and a lot of teams could do with a nice rim protector. So, yeah, look, I don't see him being traded and being moved to an 18-minute bench role anywhere. He could go from, say, I mean, the Spurs could roll him out there for 30, 32 minutes. He could get back to, I don't know, 26, 25, but even in 25 minutes.
I think he was under 30 minutes a game last year as well. So I think he can produce pretty well in a limited role. I don't think he was as low as like 25. So there is a little bit of downside.
So just pulled up his numbers. So he was at 29 minutes last year. And the 55th ranked player, in a points format. So,
I think I got him at 64 there. So I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah. There's obviously upside while he's on the Spurs. A little bit of downside if he is traded, but I think that's fine.
Yeah, completely fine.
Okay, who have we got coming up next? So I'm going to start to look at my queue here, see if I can get ahead of the game this time around. I feel like I've been playing a little bit of catch up. I'm looking at a few guys who's come off the board. Devin Vassell goes, probably a better category league guy than a points league, but I think at this kind of spot, it's pretty fine. I'm in on Devin Vassell. Like, I know I took Keldon Johnson with my previous pick, but it wouldn't surprise me if Vassell's the one that sees the bigger spike in usage and it's not Keldon, but I know you're keen on him as well, especially in those category leagues.
Yeah, I've invested a lot in him this season. I think I've got him in pretty much every league that I'm in. Got him in my big league last night. So, yeah, I'm expecting big things. But in a points league like this, I think I'd go Keldon over Vassell for sure.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Murray, I agree. I took the pick. Yeah, I'm in on Jamal Murray. I'm not really concerned about his injury and how they're going to use him coming back. There goes Russell Westbrook at pick 74. Too early for me. I know he's a better points league guy, but I'm just shit scared of what his role and minutes are going to be. And obviously, we spoke about that earlier, but I just don't really want the risk of Westbrook.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, if he's on the court, this is a great pick. If he's playing 30, 32 minutes, because purely out of him being Westbrook, he's gonna be getting stats. But yes, just a little bit of uncertainty there. Although, I mean, we are getting to that point in the draft now where you can take some flyers. So.
Yeah, I mean, we're still at, what is that, round 7? So we've still got a few more of our starting roster spots to go. I mean, maybe with your last starting spot in a points league, I'm okay with it, but I don't know. I think that the risk of him just not playing at all after 1 month is legit. And it's enough. There's still enough value on the board for me to pass on that personally. And there goes my guy, Jabari Smith. I think that's perfect. I think that's around where I want to take him in a points league. I'd have him higher in a category league, especially if I'm punting field goal percentage. But I'm in on Jabari. I know you stole him on one of our other mocks that we did earlier in the preseason. So I'd imagine you kind of view him similarly to me in terms of him having potential top 60, top 50 upside.
Yeah. I think in category leagues, he is built more towards category leagues because of his defensive numbers. He's not going to score 20 a game like Banchero might. So I think in category leagues, he would be my first rookie off the board, although that's not happening in a lot of leagues. He isn't the first. He's the second or the third. So
yeah, there's good value in him. All right, I'm coming up and John Collins just got stolen from me. Okay. Trey Jones. Okay, at 80. Mm. Interesting. All right, who am I picking here?
Robert Williams. He's still there.
I feel like this would be about where he again in a points league he's much less valuable. Shit. Okay. Kyle Kuzma. Kuz is a good points league guy. All right, let's go the Kuz. I think he's obviously I'm not a huge fan of him when it comes to category leagues, but I do. Oh, there goes Robert Williams. I do like him in a points league a bit better. You don't have to worry about the percentages and the defensive stats are less important there. So I think he's still going to get his shots. A little bit worried about Kristaps and Beal taking usage away from him. But again, they're not the most healthy players in the world. So I think about his spot.
I'm glad Williams went there because I almost felt inclined to have to take him at this spot, but now I don't. So I can take this guy instead as my center, Jalen Smith.
I like it.
I like him there. And then I feel like that's enough safe players, so I'm going to go. I'm going to go with another injury guy, really high on him last season, Michael Porter Jr. Again, in a points league, I think he'll score, he'll get rebounds, he'll do a bit. So, injury risk, of course, but I like Michael Porter Jr. So
sniped
I just
Carlos there.
Team.
He wanted MPJ.
No, I'm hoping he can bounce back to close to where he was 2 years ago.
All right, now I'm crossing my fingers that Clint Capela gets back to me because I think I need another center. I've only really got Jakob Poeltl on my team right now, and with a Clint Capela, you don't have to worry about the free throw percentage or the lack of threes. So I think that he's going to be a pretty steady source of rebounds. I am a little bit worried about Okongwu, but even if he does shift to the bench and plays 22 to 24 minutes a night, he still will be decent and rosterable. So all is not lost if that does Fuck! Okay. Back to the drawing board.
While you think about that, so I'm much the same. Like, I think Capela in 24 minutes is still fine, but based on the eye test, I really like Okongwu. Like, I would love it if the Hawks just slotted him in as the starter and gave him 28 minutes a night. I don't think it's going to happen, but Okongwu looks so good out there. He's slightly undersized, but I just think he looks the part and could be a long-term, a really nice option at center for them.
I've gone Kyle Lowry instead, so I've gone from big man to old point guard. I've completely flipped the script there. But I think, obviously, Kyle Lowry, I know he's old, and I'm usually not a big fan of drafting older players in general. I drop them down a little bit, but Miami's rotation is pretty thin, and I think they're going to have to rely on Kyle Lowry playing a decently heavy minutes load again. It should be in the 30s. He's going to get you the assist. The steals will still be there. He's not a terrible rebounder for a guard. So I think where did I get him? At pick 88, you don't have to worry about the field goal percentage, obviously. So I think that's about a little bit of value there for Kyle Lowry. And I think that's where I go from him. Keegan Murray then goes straight away after. Klay Thompson after. Again, not a big fan of Klay. Obviously, in a points league, you don't get his value of threes. Sure, he might score a lot. He was getting a whole lot of usage when he came back last year from injury. And I feel like they were kind of like forcing the ball to him a little bit. I don't know if they do that this year. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Klay and his mix with Jordan Poole this season?
Yeah, I think I'm much the same. I think they just needed to get the ball in his hands as much as possible to give him that feel for the game back. Because obviously you can, as with any sport, you can train, but it's very different to actually playing. And so I think their goal was to get him back to game sort of readiness by the playoffs, which they did. But the method to do that was forcing the ball to him a little bit more. So I think now that he's got those games under his belt and the ascension of Jordan Poole as well, who looked really good, I think Klay probably just eases off a bit. And I actually think if you can draft Jordan Poole, if you pick Curry with your first pick, getting Jordan Poole sort of in that seventh round is a really nice idea, because if Curry is managed at all or rests or gets injured, Jordan Poole gets a massive bump. So,
do you handcuff often, or is that something that you just sort of, if it's there, it's there, but you're not going to seek it out, or how do you approach handcuffing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. The only time I do it is if the player that you're actually using as the handcuff has standalone value. So I'm not sort of drafting someone that could be valuable if someone gets injured. So someone like Poole is probably going to be a top 70 sort of guy anyway, with top sort of 40 upside if Curry goes down or Clay goes down. Yeah. And I guess it may sway my decision a little bit if I'm looking at, if it was between, say, Jordan Poole and, Marcus Smart or something at pick 80, if I had those two guys and I had Curry, I might lean towards Poole just for that fact. That may influence my decision a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, man, Jalen Suggs going. I was just putting him in my queue there. I'm pretty keen on Suggs this year, and obviously in a points league, you don't have to worry about his atrocious field goal percentage. I think he can take a step up, and the addition of Paolo Banchero, I think, actually helps him take the pressure off him and takes the ball out of his hands a little bit and gets him a bit more open looks. And I think he should be someone that takes a big step in year two. I'm hoping that I can get another guy that I like coming back, maybe a Markel Fultz. PJ Washington is on my board as well that I like. Spencer Dinwiddie is on my board as well. Some of these guys that I think shine a bit more in a points league, especially the Spencer Dinwiddie pick, who I'm not a big fan of in a category league, but he's fine at this kind of a range. So what have I got? Three names I've just spit out there. Let's see if they all go through here. Well, there goes one.
Anthony Simons.
Okay. Yeah, I'm keen on him too. People shy away from him because he doesn't score a lot of points, but the assists, steals, blocks are pretty good for a center. I hope we can see a bit more rebounding from him is the only thing that I don't love from your sort of center spot. And then goes Steven Adams. Okay, so up to me now. Deciding between a Fultz and a Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, Dinwiddie could benefit with the absence of Jalen Brunson, so I think I might go there.
You don't have to. Feel free to leave him.
All right. I'm sorry, mate. I'll take him off your hands there. Spencer right. Dinwiddie on the ball, boys. How's my roster looking? Who are you looking for now that I've sniped Spencer Dinwiddie from you?
Yeah, well, my first sort of three guys have gone there. So what are we at? Pick 108 for me. I don't know. Someone like Dylan Brooks, I don't mind here.
Yep.
Whether I think he's a good player or not, the coaching staff do. And so if he's healthy, he's going to play. He's going to take shots. Gary Trent was another guy I didn't mind in this range.
Just off the board.
But he's gone, so I don't need to take him. I actually don't mind Markel Fultz in this area as well.
Payback. Come on, leave him.
Now I want Fultz even more.
Oh, no.
Yeah, probably a little bit higher on Fultz than I think the consensus.
Yeah, I like him. He was throwing out crazy amounts of assists last season when he came back. Don't know if that sticks around, but again, with the Gary Harris injury, I think he's assured more minutes this year.
Yeah.
So
we'll go Fultz there. And I might, well, the other guy's there too, so I'll go Dylan Brooks.
Bang, bang. Okay.
As well, so... Yeah, I think too. I mean, Brooks has his injury concerns, but I like having Fultz on my team. I just think he's starting to figure things out, and he was pretty good to close last season. And I think even though Cole Anthony is still there, I think they probably view Fultz as their point guard. So I think I'm hoping he can get 30 minutes a night and be close to sort of. I don't know. Maybe 8 assists. Maybe that's reaching a bit high. I don't know, but
it wouldn't be completely out of the realms of possibility. I might have him projected a little bit below that, but it could happen. I see Cole Anthony more being the guy that comes off the bench, and Fultz and Suggs being their backcourt.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a possibility that all three of them get close to 30 minutes a night, and they run like a sort of a three guard rotation, kind of thing there. All right, it's up to me now. Okay, I'm looking at a couple of guys here. Pretty uninspiring picks, although Let's go with someone who's got a little bit more upside. I'm going to go with Brandon Clarke here. I think he benefits a lot in categories with his field goal percentage, but again, the threes that he's not going to shoot are going to be good in a points league here. I think that there is an outside chance that even when Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back, that Brandon Clarke is still a starter and they move Steven Adams to the bench. If Clarke comes out and absolutely crushes it and looks really good, it wouldn't shock me that if he stays in the starting lineup. I think there's about a 30% chance, so I still would predict Steven Adams to be the starter when JJJ is back, but it wouldn't shock me if it's not him. What are your thoughts on that, and do you think he's around this kind of a value in a points league?
Yeah, I think so. As you said, a lot of his value does come from his efficiency, but at least to start the season, he could be sort of combined two blocks and steals, maybe 2.5.
He had big numbers in college.
He did, yeah. So I'm pretty high on him. I mean, I've been high on him since his rookie season. I think there's a chance he starts alongside Jaren Jackson. They went with that lineup last season down the stretch a little bit. And even if it's not starting, they did close games quite a bit. So I really, really like the fit of Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clarke together. And I know that quite a few of the Grizzlies beat reporters and that sort of thing, they're quite high on that pairing as well. So, I would love to see that happen.
I think that's the way they probably should go. I don't know if they're ready to do it this season, but I think eventually it's going to end up that way. And I think what better reason to do it this season than, you know, when if a guy comes out and plays really well, just to reward him by keeping him in the starting lineup. And obviously, you're not going to keep Jaren Jackson on the bench. So, sorry, Steven Adams. I think you're the old man out there. That's how I would run it. The Grizzlies never fill me with confidence with anything they do. But it could stay that way. So I think there's guaranteed production at the start of the season with the upside that it continues longer than maybe we are all expecting. So for that reason, I do really like Brandon Clarke around that pick, sort of 100 zone. I got a bit of that value there. Isaiah Jackson went just after me in the 10th round. I think that's about where I'd want to be taking him, especially, you know, maybe I'm happy last starting roster spot to take him and then go a bit safer with your first bench option. But anything earlier than that, I think it's too big of a risk. They literally went out and signed DeAndre Ayton in the offseason. So they're not viewing Isaiah Jackson as their future star center. So that's my concern, that even if we expect Miles Turner to be traded, I do expect that to happen at least at some point. So, but it might be the deadline. And then you're carrying Isaiah Jackson for that whole time. Maybe they trade for DeAndre Ayton again, and you've been waiting all that time, and it's for nothing. So I'm a little bit hesitant with Isaiah Jackson, as much as I love him. But I think at that spot, that's probably in the earlier range of where I would go, but I think it's fine at that spot. But earlier than that, I'm not too keen. What are your thoughts on Isaiah Jackson? I feel like I'm asking everyone I get on the show about Isaiah Jackson, because he's really tough for me.
Yeah, he is. He's obviously a bit of a sort of a fan favorite, or in terms of in fantasy circles, but yeah. I'm a little bit concerned as well. A number of levels, I suppose. His ankles don't seem sturdy. He gets injured ankles quite a lot. So I'm not sure, even if he's sort of healthy and playing, they'll actually give him more than about 26 minutes. Turner's still there. Jalen Smith looks really good. And as you said, they wouldn't have gone out and signed Ayton if they had viewed Jackson as their long-term center there. So yeah, I'm a bit like you. Like I would much rather Jalen Smith over Isaiah Jackson. As we saw here, I took him whenever that was, quite a few rounds ago.
I think he's much safer. And how much, the question is again, how much are they going to play Jalen Smith at power forward? No, they said he's going to be their starting power forward, but that doesn't mean that he's getting all of his minutes at power forward. So, you know, whether that cuts into Isaiah Jackson's, he can be good in limited minutes, don't get me wrong. So he's not going to be, you know, outside the top 200, but he might not be, you know, top 130 or anything like that. We can't necessarily expect that from a player who's playing those limited minutes, but
no, and still very young and inexperienced as well. So, So you're coming up here.
I'm coming up. I'm crossing my fingers. I know as soon as I'm going to say his name, he's going to be taken off the board. But I'm crossing my fingers that Zubats gets back to me. I feel like he's sliding down the board a little bit. He's a bit of a boring pick, but I don't see anyone really challenging him for minutes at the center. Yeah. And so I'm hoping that he can get back to me. I think he's got a bit of upside if he plays like 30 minutes a night. Shit. And there he goes. I knew it. Okay, so back to the drawing board. Okay, that really hurt. All right, so in that case, maybe I go with a bit more of a fun upside-y guy. Oh, shit, it's up to me. That came around quick. Who went just before? Bobby Portis. All right, so I'm looking at either a guy I don't love in category leagues in Aaron Gordon, or taking a bit more of a swing and going with a Jaden Ivey type. I feel like it's a bit early for Ivey, so let's go one more safer pick with Aaron Gordon. We've got four bench players to go on this roster, so I'm going to go with a bit more upside in my last three picks. But Aaron Gordon, I think, is pretty safe and secure and much better in a points league format, so he's going to be my pick there.
Yeah, coming up to me, not really set on anyone here. We're sort of into our bench now, so there goes Okongwu. Yeah, he was sort of...
I had him on my queue too.
Yeah, he was thereabouts. I'll draft this guy. So I'm going to take Caris LeVert with my first...
Yep, that's a good... I like him definitely in a points league.
Yeah, points league, and I think if the Pacers do bring him off the bench to run that second unit, I think he could actually have a decent season.
Yeah, I'd almost prefer him to come off the bench.
Yeah, I think so. And then the other guy I've got, who is a guy that... I seem to be getting him in a few spots, but Chris Duarte. I would have rathered Mathurin here, but he went...
He went
a few picks ago, I think. Yeah. So I would rather him in a points league. But Duarte, I think he's going to get minutes. And he was, you're up again here. So, yeah. Duarte, not exciting at all, but I think he's fairly solid. And you've gone with Jaden Ivey.
Yeah. So he came back to me. So I'm pretty happy to get him there. A bit of upside there. I really like Jaden Ivey as a player. I didn't like his fantasy translation in a category league, but his scoring and potential assists, he could even get some defensive stats. He's super athletic. So those kind of guys can get those sort of stats that you, you might not expect or something like that. So I'm pretty happy to get him there. Lou Dort was another guy I was kind of considering again with the Shea news. Maybe if things go south real quick that he could step up and have a bit more of a high usage role again this season. But obviously he went before me. And then Bones Highland and Walker Kessler are going straight after me. So these are excellent late round picks in my opinion. I think there's a lot of upside in all of those picks there. Walker Kessler, what are you expecting with him and the Utah Jazz rotation to start the season? Do you think that he's the starter? Do you think he can get minutes in the mid-20s? Where do you sort of see Kessler this year?
I hope he's the starter. I would love it if he is because I think just the upside. And, I mean, it makes very little sense to not start him, given their trajectory and what they're hoping to do this season. Why wouldn't you throw him in there and just let him go? Starting doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be 30 minutes, but even if he's 24, 26 minutes, I think just the upside in blocks alone is enough for him to have value. So I love him as a late round pick in any format, really.
Trey Mann just went, and I think that's the first time I've seen him drafted in a mock draft. Bold, I guess. I think the person drafting him there is hoping for a bit of value with the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander injury, maybe. I can kind of see it. I liked Trey coming out of the draft, but yeah. I mean, I guess it all boils down to what's happening with Shai and if he does miss more time in the season or if he will be there opening night, but... We don't really know just yet, and I guess it's fine at this point in the draft. Maybe there's some other guys I might prefer.
Yeah. Where are you on? I mean, he hasn't been drafted yet, but I just happened to see his name there. But where, and someone asked us this on Twitter, I think earlier today, but where are you on Mo Bamba?
I did see a response there. I mean, I'm down on Mo Bamba. I see him strictly as a backup in like an 18 to 20 minute a night role. Yeah, I'm pretty down on him. Don't think he's going to be troubling leagues too much. Obviously, he still has upside and he still should be drafted, I think. But I've seen people reach inside the top 100 to get him, and I want nothing to do with that.
I'm much the same there. What do we got? Still a while till you're coming. Any positions that you need to fill? I'm just looking at my bench here. I'm very guard heavy.
I feel like I've got a lot of forwards on mine. I mean, I don't know why Brennan Clark is a small forward, power forward, eligible player. That doesn't really make much sense to me. So maybe I'm a bit light on centres. I've only got two centred rostered players on my team with Jakob Poeltl and Davis. So maybe I can do with another centre there. But I don't pay too much attention to that kind of stuff as long as I've got, you know, at least all those positions filled and maybe one extra guy that can take that.
Yeah.
Take that position. I'm not too stressed about it. What about you?
Guard heavy, I think. So I don't... Yeah, I probably need to get... I have two centers as well. So probably looking at getting at least one forward with my next pick. But yeah, much like you, I think as long as you can fill those roster spots enough, two centers, I think, is enough. I don't think you need to have a third one unless someone's sort of jumping off the board at you. But, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily going to push someone above anyone else because of their position at this point in the draft. I'm just trying to get the guys that I think are the best upside and give it a try from there. So, yeah, we'll...
All right, so coming up... who's on your radar at the moment? Who are you looking at?
I'm looking at some flyer types now. So one of my favorite ones is Tari Eason. I've popped on my queue there. I don't know if I'll go there this pick or whether I save him for the next pick. I've got Hartenstein on the queue. And I've also got a couple of points league guys that are obviously not guys I consider in category leagues in John Wall and Bagley. I'm probably... not going to go that way and see if I can get one of them on the way back. But again, I'm just looking at pure upside at the moment.
Yeah, here we go. You're up.
Who went? I'm just having a look. Okay. D'Anthony Melton, Drummond, and Beverly. All right.
Yeah.
What pick is this? Is this the 150? Second to last? All right. Yeah. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with my guy here. I'm keen on this dude. Tari Eason.
No, you shouldn't. You should undo that pick.
I'm big on Tari Eason. Yeah, I think that he's got just scope to be awesome. It might take a bit of patience. I've told others that I've been on the podcast, he's my Alperen Sengun of this year. A guy that I'm really, really passionately on. And I hope that he can find some minutes. It might not happen, but yeah. I'm pretty keen on him.
Yeah, no, that's who I was going to take, and now I don't want anyone because I'm upset.
There's still a couple of guys there.
Yeah, look, I'll go Patrick Williams.
I've got him in a few mocks, Patrick Williams.
Yeah, not as exciting, I don't think, in a points league, but...
Yeah, I agree.
He's going to get minutes, so, there's not a ton of upside here, but there's some. Man... into the dregs now. I don't really like this either. But to open the season with Lonzo out, I'm going to go Alex Caruso. I know he won't score a lot, but he could play 30, 32 minutes a game if Lonzo is out. And, I just like Caruso, so...
I think I'd prefer him in a point in a category league points.
Absolutely.
Just because his value there is a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I've got two guys I'm tossing up here between Hartenstein and Bagley. And I would usually take Hartenstein.
Yeah, Bagley's yuck.
Bagley is gross. but in a points league, I think he's much better. I think they're going to start him. They liked how he fit next to Cade last year. It might suck, but I think honestly, in a points league, he scores better than Hartenstein. Assuming that he is the starter, which I think he is. So I'm going to go with Marvin Bagley with my last pick. I hate it. I feel dirty, but I think in a points league, it's much better. And I wouldn't bother in a category league, but here he can definitely put up some points.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So there's not much left on the board.
Not much left. Poku now. Went, Trey Murphy went. A couple of guys we see, obviously, as sleepers. I think Trey Murphy's probably a better category league guy, personally. But again, it's hard to fault a lot of these guys. DeAndre Hunter is an interesting one, especially in a points league. He's pretty empty stat otherwise, but I think that's a decent pick in points leagues. So I like that last pick there at 163. A few picks left. While we finish up this draft here, Adam, what have you guys got going on over at Fantasy Basketball International?
It's busy. We've got our draft-only leagues are pretty much done, I think, now. So I think we'll be transitioning into our redraft leagues over the next few days. We're just, wrapping things up with a few draft-only leagues. The World Cup, they'll be releasing information about the World Cup if you want to be in that as well over the next few days. Similar to most people listening to this are probably at least aware of the league, the big tournament that Josh is running.
Locked On Fantasy Basketball Bowl.
Very similar to that, I think. Multiple leagues, winners come together at the end. I'm still sort of, I guess, getting used to doing videos and doing podcasts and that sort of thing. So slowly churning out some content over the next, month until the season starts, and then we'll have some regular shows during the week once we're up and running. And I think Matt also just released his player rankings, his redraft rankings projections. So that is also...
Check that one out for sure.
Also up, yeah. So we're slowly building.
Definitely good. Some good content for you guys. I always stay tuned to the videos you guys release, and I would encourage all of my listeners and viewers to do the same. Check out their YouTube channel and subscribe over there. They've got some good stuff, and we always want to promote good fantasy content out there. To round the draft off, James Wiseman and Dennis Schroeder went. I like Wiseman a bit more in a points league. Let's wrap this one up by just going through our teams to finish up there. I'll start with mine. Started the draft with Ja Morant, obviously excellent points league guy, and followed up with Anthony Davis. So in my opinion, those are two top 10 guys in a points league. Obviously, you've got a bit of injury risk. So after that, tried to go a little bit safer, although De'Aaron Fox was my next pick. But I feel pretty good, and obviously I'm pretty high on him. Scotty Barnes to finish on that. And then a lot of safe, boring guys after that with Poeltl, Keldon Johnson, Brandon Clark a little bit later. All those guys I feel pretty safe with. I think that they're all in line for bigger roles this year with a bit of upside at each pick. The Kyle Kuzma pick, I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe that's my category league brain stepping in and questioning that pick there, but I feel like I got good value elsewhere, and I am happy that I managed to snipe you on a couple of picks with Eason, and I can't remember, I think there was another one else there, but pretty happy with how my team went there. I think that, assuming injuries, I should be up towards the top there. Of course, Yahoo doesn't have the fantasy points projections on a couple of my rookies there, so I think the standings will be, a little bit askew there. But let's walk through your team and your thought process for those guys just to wrap it up.
I'm fairly happy with my team. As I said, it's not a format that I'm super familiar with. One thing that is enjoyable, I suppose, about points leagues is that, they are enjoyable because there is less strategy, so you can just pick up players purely based on their numbers. But I found that, just looking through my squad there, there's a few familiar names, but there's actually a few guys in there that I wouldn't draft in a category.
That's right, yeah.
So it is fun to have other guys on your roster, like Zion. I don't have him anywhere.
Yep.
Ben Simmons, there's no way I'm taking him that high in a category league.
Yep.
Colin Sexton, I don't have him. RJ Barrett, I wouldn't touch him. So, I don't, in terms of the build of my roster, I'm pretty happy with it. The Caruso pick, maybe I don't know, maybe we maybe that pays off if he actually is healthy and plays 32 minutes a night. But yeah, I don't mind the Patrick Williams.
I mean, it's your last pick. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those last picks are fine. And I sniped a couple of your guys as well, which is nice. So it's, yeah.
What goes around comes around there.
Yeah. So look, I'm generally pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I think
no complaints.
That's all good. So let us know what you guys think. If you thought there were some terrible picks or some great picks in there, let us know down in the comments on YouTube. Make sure you guys are subscribed. We've got plenty of content coming out. If you want to check out ballboysnba.com and get yourself a season draft guide for just $10, you'll set yourself up for the entire season. We've got our rankings over there. Articles are dropping hard and fast at the moment. We're going to be putting up a Q&A podcast where all the subscribers ask their questions over there. But otherwise, guys, thumb up the video, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next time. Laters.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.